Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio in mere moments. Traveling back from Ohio yesterday, well, technically last night. So he'll be joining us back in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Thanks to the folks at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf at Sunbury Kia. Steve will be taking your phone calls today as well. On the Let It Be Solar Hotline, toll-free at 1-800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Today on the program, Todd Bartley from the Williamsport Crosscutters will join us as they start the Sawbuck Series up again with a few games, including one tonight in State College, then tomorrow night in Williamsport, and then they'll be back at Williamsport again on Sunday. So we'll have the voice of the Crosscutters on with the voice of the State College Spikes all at the same time. And going on today as well, the British Open, we'll be talking about that, give you an update on the leaderboard, tell you where Tiger Woods is, because let's face it, that's what everybody wants to know anymore, is the Tiger update. We'll have the Tiger update for you coming up in a few. And Major League Baseball has a really fun website that I use quite a bit called MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll have one of the writers from MLBTradeRumors.com with Steve as well today on the Steve Jones Show. Our Thursday edition of the program, sponsored by Rick Weibel, and of course they're at REW Financial. You can visit them online at REWfinancial.com. We appreciate Rick and Lee and the folks there being a part of the program again every Thursday. And of course, as we get closer to football season, everybody keeps asking, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to do a lot of talk about football? Yeah, we're going to do a lot of talk about football. As the season approaches, we'll spend some time on high school football as well as Penn State football and, of course, peek into the NFL. And the NFL did get one piece of, I don't know if you call it good news or not, but it's definitely good news if you're a Redskins fan that RG3 is ready to go and he will report to rookie camp. And they wouldn't technically call him a holdout, but he got everything signed this week, and now we'll be going to rookie camp. And, of course, all the camps will get underway here very, very shortly. And one of our sister stations, Eagle 107, 107.3 FM, will again be the home of Philadelphia Eagles football. And we'll try and, as the season gets going here in August, we'll try and get you Merrill Reese on the program as well. And that's what we like to do. We like to give you as many different people on the program that you don't get a chance to hear every day. Here on the Steve Jones Show, and give you a chance not only to discuss some of the things that they've talked about or maybe even chat with them. And again, you can do that at 1-800-795-9565. And the Tiger update, he is in the clubhouse now at 3-under. That is 3 strokes behind the leader, who had a clubhouse record 64. 64 from Adam Scott today. He tied the course record, equaled the lowest British Open score at the course, and took advantage of some of the prime conditions to rip off 8 birdies on the way to a 6-under 64 earlier today. Paul Lowry, Zach Johnson, they shot 65s. Tiger, 67. Tiger said, pretty tough out there, although I'm not quite sure when somebody shoots a 64 if it is pretty tough out there, but the 32-year-old Australian bounced back after an early bogey and just had some really accurate drives today. His irons were right on the money, and his long putter was just unbelievable. Arrived at the 17th hole with a score of 7-under, put him in position for the record for the lowest score in the Open or any other major, and actually broke the hallowed mark with one more birdie, but settled for a par on the 17th, took a bogey on the final hole after an errant tee shot sent him into the thick rough. And, boy, when you talk about the rough in the British Open, there's some serious rough to be discussed at the British Open. Of course, all those rolling hills, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago with Curtis Strange. And if you missed that interview, one of the places you can find it is online at stevejonesshow.com. That's the Curtis Strange interview there Again, look at stevejonesshow.com. New poll question coming up today. The poll question that we had up was, should you or would you watch? Or, I don't know if I'd watch a recorded. I've talked about that times. You know, I'm a break. It was chosen by the network to be recorded and what of that. And you see a lot. You'll watch that during the week. And again, I like watching the whole Steve Jones Show. We'll have more coming up with Steve in the Sunbury Motor Studio next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
People often ask me how much I try to avoid Kevin Herr. And the opening few minutes of this show are graphic examples of how sometimes it works.
I don't know, but it was feeling like the Kevin Herr show, and I was feeling comfortable. I was about ready to start taking calls and making predictions, and it was. But then you were here.
And the phones weren't ringing, were they?
Yeah. What's going on at the British Open? And then answer phones at the same time. It was a busy, busy early start to the program here.
Well, fine. Take her home then. Thanks for.
Nah, you're here. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I don't add much to the show. I mean, we know in the end, I'm just a pawn in your big time passion play.
That's exactly right. This is all means to an end, right?
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. In the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, where we have a guest, by the way. Say hello to John Stroh, Kevin Herr.
John, how are Kevin. You?
I'm good. How are you?
Every time he calls you John, I get confused. You know that.
Well, you know, I guess since we're back in the valley.
He said that the
law.
Whatever it takes. Whatever exactly, it takes to keep that AKA quiet, right?
You got to stay ahead of the popo, right?
I get it.
Again.
Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. Now, WHVL-TV is having a big event here in for those 10 until 4.
It's in July car show, and we're looking for a big turnout this year. It's an event that's evolved for us. As I said, it's our third year with the event, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And, this year we're reaching out to my folks in the Valley and, trying to get them to come out and help out a great, great cause. And we're hoping to get some people from the Susquehanna Valley to make the drive. It's a great drive. It's going to be a beautiful day, too.
Yeah, it is going to be a beautiful day. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be nice. You started out as any event the first year, 20 cars. You upped it to 40 last year. You're looking for many more this year. Give us an idea of range from year to year. The earliest model you might have there to the latest model you might have there.
You know, the one year we actually had a Model T the first year, which was pretty cool.
It was nice of Kevin to drive his car over.
It was very nice of Kevin to drive his car over, and we were glad to have him. But
no response.
Like, I got nothing.
He's just sitting there.
The silence says everything, Steve.
Like, really? You think I keep a car that long?
Yeah, that's true. You're Captain Lease. I forgot.
But anyway, I think we had a Model T the first year. You know, and we've had some really exotic things. We had this car. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was made in I believe Sweden. During World War II, or right after World War II, and there were only like 5,000 of them made before the car manufacturer went belly up. And if you'd seen this thing, you would have thought, like, when I looked at it, I thought it was a kit car, like a dune buggy type of.
Well, it's like DeLoreans, how DeLoreans went out so quickly.
It's exactly that same thing, and it was really rare. I mean, that's the only time we've had someone come in on a hauler. You know, sometimes you go to these shows, these guys will come in on haulers. We've only had one hauler, and that was it. You know,
really?
The guy brought it in on a trailer, drove it off, drove it up, parked it, didn't start it again until it was time to put it back on the trailer.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you're going to have a 2013 Scion that you think is being driven right off the lot.
It could be. You know, this is the first year we've actually gotten pre-registration cars. And one of the cars we got this year was, like I said, like Steve said, a 2013 Scion. I'm expecting this thing to still have the window sticker in it when it comes in here.
And you also go back, you may have a 57 there as well, right?
We're hoping. We had a 57 and a 55 last year. And the 57, if I remember, it was beautiful. It was orange and white, and it was just immaculate. And we're hoping for that again. And I mean, I know my dad will be there with his Crown Vic 1950. I think it's a 55. I think it is, but he'll be there with his Crown Vic. He'll make the trip up. So hopefully he'll get some people to share the road with him.
All of this will benefit Toys for Tots. And what you're asking is for people to bring over a brand new unwrapped toy, your Christmas in July, with the idea that when the actual Toys for Tots campaign begins, you'll be able to make a donation to it, because the goal is to get four brand new toys for each child in need. And there are many on the list right now in rolls.
Correct. And yeah, that is our goal. And you know, Toys for Tots, they really have the kickoff for their, what they do is really like, and I believe it's in October.
Yes.
But this really is, you know, this is the scrimmage before the first game in October, so to speak. You know, this is a chance for, you know, the community to reach out and jumpstart mm-hmm. Toys for Tots for the upcoming Christmas. And yeah, and like I said, you know, and the thing is too, you know, it's not only toys, Steve. You know, they need, there's hygiene products and things like that that they use, you know, and it's a wealth of things that these guys can use to give to these kids. I mean, combs, hair dryers,
right.
You know, it just doesn't have to be. You know, toys are great. I mean, you know, but it just doesn't have to be toys.
Right. But toys are also uplifting.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're uplifting.
Exactly.
Hey, this is 10 to 4. And by the way, if you're wondering, where is the studio? The studio is very simple. Yeah. When you go into State College and you find the Nittany Mall, they're literally across the street from Macy's. So, Kevin, you can come on down, take a look at the cars, and at the same time, use your Super Shopper card and coupons for another fabulous one-day-only sale at Macy's.
Great. That's exactly what I need is another tie.
Kevin wanted to know, and he's a little shy when he brings this up,
uh-huh.
if he were to bring his El Camino with the AstroTurf in the back, so the El Camino with the AstroTurf in the back, would that be acceptable, or does he have to have it waxed?
Hey, you know what? As long as Kevin has $10 for the registration fee, a new unwrapped toy, we will take a look and be more than happy to judge any car. And Kevin, I will give you this. The key is cleanliness.
Oh, well, then I'm done. Inside or out?
All over. Oh, all around. Like I just learned that this year. You know, I'm not a huge, you know, my dad will be scoffing because he'll be laughing because he's a huge car guy. And, you know, and he can do anything. You know, I'm lucky to change my oil. But luckily, you don't need to be extremely auto savvy to hold a car show. I think it helps a little bit. But, you know, that's the great. And I just learned that this year. That's the great thing. The key is cleanliness with these. You know, and that means under the motor, the wheels, you know, everywhere, inside, outside, everything immaculate.
So let's piece this together now. Kevin, cleanliness.
Listen, inside,
no,
outside, not
see.
A problem.
$10,
inside, no way.
$10 entrance fee. No, that would mean opening the wallet. And C, brand new kid donation charity. Well, El Camino might not make it.
Kevin's going to load that El Camino up like it's Santa's sled. I know he is.
Well, the AstroTurf in the back keeps it. You know,
it'll keep it from sliding around.
Where did the AstroTurf in the back come from? Is what I want to know.
Because you're trying to protect the cabin.
Okay,
hey,
all right.
Hey, Kevin, he didn't get to your hula dancer bobblehead on the dash. He didn't even bring that up.
yeah, I had to take the topless one and get rid of it. Too many kids in the car anymore, so I had to get rid of that one.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is a family event, Kevin.
Then I got to get rid of it for sure. Then
this will be 10 to 4. This will be Saturday outside the WHVL studios, across from the Mullen State College, and it's open to a wide range of people. That's why we wanted to bring it to everybody here in the Valley.
Exactly. You know, this is something we're trying to grow, and it's, you know, the one thing that I think is State College in Sunbury, in the Susquehanna Valley in general, it's not far. You know, and there's a lot of great things. There's a lot of great things in the Susquehanna Valley. There's a lot of great things here in Center County. And, you know, let's bridge that gap a little bit and, you know, reach out. And like I said, it's a short drive. It's going to be a beautiful day. Come on out. We've got a live band called Bandit playing classic rock. Mm-hmm. Ike the Spike will be in the house.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we've got some stuff for the kids.
And also WHVL is, and they're also going to bring back the station in Wilkes-Barre this year, which will get right into the Susquehanna Valley. So the Blue-White Tailgate show's back.
Exactly.
And you'll have a couple of announcements probably next week.
We've got and it's it for well tonight, Philly's huge.
I think they're going to keep us.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe they're looking around. If that's what you told me, right? Or is he on tomorrow?
Well, no, I was asking you, but that will work out fine because we were planning on whenever you were ready, he was going to be ready as well.
Oh, yeah. 3:35 is fine. Then Ben Nicholson-Smith from MLBTradeRumors.com.
You know, I'm not sure what program has ever had both play-by-play announcers on at the same time for an event happening later tonight.
Never really have thought about it.
No, I didn't think so, but it was interesting in my mind.
Sure we have. That's not true because I've had on guests when Penn State was playing basketball against the team that...
Not the same night. See, now he's got to think about it.
I like the break music, Kevin.
Thanks.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola and buenos dias. Steve Jones is part of the Kevin Hurd get-together.
That sounds really fun. That's a party I want to be at.
There's nothing like a barbecue at the Her Homestead, and I tell you right now, if we were to have a barbecue at the Her Homestead, one of the guys I would require to be there to make sure we had some fun, because I know Kevin likes to play lawn bowling and volleyball and cricket and croquet, and I enjoy having really good, stimulating, enjoyable conversation with somebody with a sense of humor, so that would be Todd Bartley. Todd,
Steve,
welcome.
Why don't we play some lawn darts at Kevin's?
See, now there's an idea. Lawn darts is a great idea.
The problem is Kevin would want to catch the darts.
You know, here, you think that's good. When I was a kid, we used to have the real lawn darts, all right? The kind that had the stakes at the bottom that went into the ground, which you're not allowed to use anymore. Well, we got to be brave, and we decided to throw it above our head, and it landed in the middle of the swimming pool. That was the end of the swimming pool at that point, but it was a fun game nonetheless.
Those are the darts I'm talking about. The big ones with about a foot long, you know, peg in the bottom, and when it landed, it definitely stuck in the ground.
You knew at that moment whether you were in good shape or not because they stayed in the ground. That's right.
Yeah.
To me, lawn darts with Kevin catching them would be the equivalent of the America's Cup arming the boats. It's a lot more fun.
It's true.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I've always felt that. If you want the America's Cup to return to prominence, arm the damn boats.
I'm with you.
All right. Okay.
This show's gone a completely wrong direction now.
No. Entertainment never is in the wrong direction, Kevin.
All right.
You know, especially when it's at your expense.
There you go.
Todd agrees with me.
I do.
Todd, I want to ask you a couple quick questions to get to it here, because the Crosscutters and the Spikes are going to be playing the Sawbucks series and resuming it here. Give us an idea of Williamsport right now and the play that they have at this particular stage.
See, what's been interesting, we're starting to get pretty solid starting pitching. The bullpen with a couple of guys with roles, they're starting to solidify, but there's this 6th, 7th, 8th inning bullpen situation. Offense goes away. that has kind of been, you know, through the season to this point, the question that continues to be unanswered, where we'll get a couple of early runs, we get a lead, and then the starter throws well, and then the first guy out of the bullpen or second guy out of the bullpen either gives up the tying runs or gives up the lead, and then if we can get the lead back, the back end's been pretty solid, but it's just a matter of getting the bridge, you know, from the beginning to the end, and that's kind of been the issue that's been plaguing us of late.
Andy Tracy is not that far removed from being a player, and this is his first foray into managing. What have been some of the challenges for him to make the transition from player to manager, and where has it been a plus being so closely removed being a player?
Well, see, the great thing is he's still relatively young, if that's fair to say, as you know, a player just coming out of it. It's very similar to what Chris Truby did a couple of years back as a cross-cutter manager, now into the managerial role. He's been great. I think a lot of the learning curve is we have a lot of high school guys, you know, a year, 2 years removed, that are still getting their feet on the ground in professional baseball. And what's been great is to see the extra time that Andy's taken with the younger guys going, I've been in your shoes. I know what it is. Look, I'm less than a year removed from playing professional baseball. This is all part of the process. And I think that's been great, his ability to relate as a player in such a recent history situation.
Also, the level of play in the league. Already I've had a chance to see Brandon Nimmo, first-round pick of the Mets, Tyler Naquin, first-round pick of the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, Anthony Marrero, the shortstop from Arizona State. I'll see him next week when I go to Lowell. He was the Red Sox first pick in the eighth overall in this draft. And, of course, Barrett Barnes is the supplemental first-round pick. Have you seen a better level of play in the New York Penn League in the opening 5 weeks compared to what we see normally in the opening 5 weeks of a season?
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And there are some guys in this league right now that have no business being in this league. They're at minimum either South Atlantic League guys or, for some of the affiliation agreements, Carolina League guys. They have no business being in this league as well as they're playing right now. So you know the phrase, I know this phrase, get out of this league. And for whatever reason, certain organizations are keeping guys at this level to put up ungodly numbers through the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season. And you know, those are the guys that are going to be, you know, first ballot all-stars in a couple of weeks.
Have you seen Luis Mateo, the pitcher for Brooklyn?
I think we missed him in their rotation, but when we saw Brooklyn, the Nimmo kid was, you know, the numbers on the paper were, you know, he's hitting below 200 and that type of thing, and then he just gets on base, he goes and tracks down the ball in the alley, and does all the little things well, putting guys over, and then he runs into one, you know, coming off a game, two games before where he hit a grand slam. So that kid's really starting to figure out.
Well, I'll tell everybody out there, Mateo, in my opinion, based on what I saw, will be at Binghamton before the season's out. He's two levels ahead of where he should be right now. He's the best pitcher I've seen in this league in 7 years.
Well, Steve, you'll see a guy in Larry Green who is hitting the cover off the baseball. He had his first home run in a cross-cutter uniform when we were at home. And here's a kid that a lot of people are saying should be in Lakewood right now. He's hit number 300 and just hitting the cover off the ball.
It's amazing. And I was impressed with him right off the top, though. And I was really, he's built like a football player. And if I recall correctly, Alabama recruited him hard.
He turned Nick Saban down. He turned Mark Richt down at Georgia. I mean, everybody in the SEC was after this kid to be either a running back or a linebacker in the SEC. He is a legitimate, big-time college football prospect, and he chose to play professional baseball. And what's really been neat is to see the improvement he's had defensively, because it seemed to me that he was kind of tentative early, learning the different stadiums, the different outfields in the league. Now that he's a lot more comfortable, you can see the speed that got everybody going in the SEC to get him to play football.
In fact, when Bill O'Brien was at one of the Williamsport games, and I was talking to him about Green, and he said, "Who is that guy?" He says, "That guy looks like he's really built like a football player." I said, That's because he was a football player. And you'll see that with State College and Tyler Gaffney. Gaffney was the second-string tailback for Stanford this year. He scored 7 touchdowns, and he is built like a football player. He plays like a football player. So you'll get to see that, Todd, up close and personal in the next few days.
You see, what's great about Larry Green, and we commonly refer to him as LG2, which his dad just absolutely loves, and his dad was there at the draft last year when Mickey Morandini handed him the jersey to become a Philadelphia Philly. Larry is as humble and as a soft-spoken kid who just wants to play baseball and do the right thing. Steve, you know this from dealing with it every day. Those type of athletes are so few and far between. It's you know, a great breath of fresh air. It really is.
Going around the league, for you, Todd, what has been the enjoyable part of going around the league, and what's the tough part of going around the league?
Tough part's the grind, you know, family, wife and kids, and missing, you know, swimming lessons and those types of things. That's kind of the tough thing on a daily basis. So when you're home, you got to cherish those times. The best part of going on the road, well, we're about to make a trip to Lowell, Massachusetts, and I'm going to make some connections with some friends that we've made in baseball and go see them and stay in, you know, one of the better hotels in the league and enjoy that time and then come back through and go to Hudson Valley, which there's the mall right there. The other thing is with the new movie that's coming out tonight at midnight, those are some of the things that you can do, too, when you go on the road and see different films and those types of things that, you know, maybe the kids and the wife don't want to go see.
Right, exactly. Also, in the trip to Lowell, at least for me now, the personal part of that is when I go to Connecticut, a chance to see my mom, go to Lowell, a chance to see my son who lives in New Hampshire. So there are a lot of things where you're able, at least within the circuit of the league, do this. Historic Bowman Field. It's the second oldest park used in minor league baseball behind Centennial Field in Burlington. They have worked very hard on that place, in my opinion, Gabe and the entire crew deserve a lot of credit for the presentation that they have up there.
Oh, without question. And I'm a big Bowman fan and advocate because the District 4 tournament's there, as Kevin well knows. We've seen a lot of the teams come through there over the years. And when I came to town in 2007 and started researching the market and everything else, I fell in love with the place. It's a great, venerable old ballpark. The playing surface is, you know, top-notch. It's one of the better ones in the league that, you know, the teams play on. And then it is what it is from a seating standpoint, but I like it because it's so cozy and you're right on top of the field.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Yeah, the one part that I find interesting, and a lot of fans may not understand this, the Little League World Series is a great, great event for Williamsport and Central Pennsylvania. But it doesn't help the Cutters a lot, does it?
No, not from an attendance standpoint, but what's really been neat in my time the last 5 years in Williamsport is to see the different teams come over in their time in Williamsport and come over and visit with the Cross Cutters and different teams from different areas. I remember Corey Knowles a couple of years back as a left-hander. There was a team out of Georgia, so they immediately, you know, wanted to talk to him and see what his time in professional baseball was like. What was neat is one of the teams came over, I think from California, and Anthony Hewitt, who you remember, he's in Clearwater now in the Phillies organization, is standing side by side with one of these 12-year-olds, and the 12-year-old is literally like a half inch taller than Anthony Hewitt. I'm thinking, if this kid's this size at 12, can you imagine what he's going to be at 19 or 20?
I mean, it's amazing because I have seen some of the teams over there. I remember one night the team from Mexico being there. I remember a team from Kirkland, Washington being over there. So at least they come over to the games. But it's also from a marketing point of view, it dominates so much and justifiably so. But from a marketing and promotional point of view, I almost feel like the Cutters have to work harder at that time of the year to remind everybody, quote, we're still here.
Well, and they do, and you know, that's not the big secret in town, but and last year you compound it with the great season that Keystone had, you know, and we're watching that they're playing in prime time every night, so TV wasn't doing us any favors for an attendance number at all, and it almost, you know, you're counting empty seats, you know, with Keystone last year because 40,000 people are over in Southside watching the games, which was great. I mean, it's a great season by Keystone, and and that type of thing. But you're right; it's it gets a little tough with those that 10-day to 2-week stretch.
And no question about that. What is it about baseball, Todd, that when you broadcast it, it's something that you love?
I played it growing up. It's everything I thought it would be. Spending time in different organizations through the years and being a fan of different organizations and seeing guys, and I'll give an example. I was in Kinston in the 2000s when CC Sabathia and Victor Martinez and that crowd came through with the K-Tribe. Seeing those guys become the major leaguers they are today, you knew them when they were making their ascent. There could be guys on the spikes right now, same thing on the crosscutters, that are the future for Pittsburgh Pirates and the Philadelphia Phillies, and that's really the reward of calling the games every night, being on the bus with them, on the road, and getting to know them as people, knowing that eventually they'll be a Major League Baseball player.
Todd, absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed having you on. Always enjoy seeing you. You're one of the finer professionals that we run into all the time in the circuit, and wish you nothing best. Can't wait to see you tonight.
Indeed, Steve. Looking forward to it tonight, and I have to tell you this. Go Cutters.
It's in his contract, done. Yeah.
Meanwhile, anything you'd like to say to Kevin before you leave?
Kevin?
Yes.
Just pick a date, September. Steve's schedule and my schedule with our college commitments gets a little tight, so we may have to bump it to a Sunday, but you're more than welcome to get the old-school lawn darts ready for your catching contest.
Great. I'll dig them out. They might have a little rust on them, but they'll be all right.
I believe, Todd, based on the rules you just outlined for the event, I will make time.
As will I.
Wow, Kevin, you're a draw.
Sorry, the Steelers play on Sunday. It'll have to be like a Tuesday. I got those nights open now.
That's okay.
No,
I'm free Tuesdays.
We'll make Tuesdays. It work. Trust me, we will make it work.
No. I said Tuesday's fine with me, too. I mean, in fact, if I bring it up to Bill O'Brien, we may bring the entire team over.
That's right. We'll give the proceeds to charity. We're going to have medical staff on standby.
Please make sure they're close by.
No, the medical staff's participating. Okay.
Time for a break, please.
Sure, if you wish. I mean, I guess I've heard people have sponsored this show, which I think is a good thing. Steve Jones Show is brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at REWfinancial.com. We'll come back with more of Kevin Herr, Lawn Darts, and more on WKOK after this. Okay. Big Ten putting out something. It's an internal working document intended to generate ideas and not draw conclusions, according to an email sent from Big Ten headquarters to people in the conference. One provision in the document addresses emergency authority of the commissioner is one of the ideas that would allow the commissioner to fire coaches.
I saw that. I was hoping you were going to bring that up. I don't like that idea at all.
Well, no, and here's my stand on it. First of all, Jim Delaney's a very responsible individual. Did we lose a caller there? Sorry.
No, you're right.
Okay. Jim Delaney's a very responsible individual and has great integrity. I think that you can accomplish this. The commissioner does have the power to suspend. And, of course, you know, suspensions can come, for example, or fines for, as an example, criticizing officiating.
And that's fine.
And I'm completely for that. I also think that if they think there is an egregious breaking of rules and or laws, then I think the commissioner should have the ability to suspend. As for hiring or firing, that has to be done by the entity that pays the salaries. And the Big Ten does not pay the salaries. Oh, they may have money going to the schools that eventually gets to them, but the hiring and firing entity must be the organization that the individual's on the payroll for. That's what I think. Now, you can accomplish the same thing by looking at saying, I'm sorry, you're suspended for 3 years. You can't coach in the league. You accomplish the same goal without the ability to fire the individual. That then has to come from the entity that hires the individual.
Oh, that's just way too much power to wield in a position like that. I mean, being able to decide who an organization can keep and who they have to get rid of. If you want to make a recommendation to the university and say, listen, this is pretty bad. We're going to put suspensions up. We're going to do this. We're going to fine. You might want to consider finding somebody else. All right, I'd rather, if you want to go ahead and do that, that's fine. But having the ability to fire a coach in that position just doesn't work for me.
Well, you have to remember, this is a working document, and this is actually a brainstorming document. So let's not hold the Big Ten to that standard. This is a brainstorming document. That's what it is. And it's just floating ideas about out there because they're looking at different ways because what's happened here is unprecedented. So that's what they're looking at. They're just looking at different ways of oversight. They're looking at different ideas to improve control. And that's what they're floating right now. This is not an absolute. This is not something you're going to vote on tomorrow. They're just floating ideas right now because they want to make sure that something like this never happens again. And if something like this ever does happen again, there are ways on a conference level to deal with that are already in place. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, the intentions are good. And I do like the idea, as you said, that it's kind of a working document. And there's nothing set in stone. This is all the discussion stage. And, you know, if you're in a brainstorming session and that idea comes up, yeah, that's something to consider, but not for long.
Again, the ability to suspend, I think, can be done from the commissioner's office.
Absolutely.
As an example, Bruce Pearl. When Bruce Pearl was suspended from coaching Tennessee basketball for 8 games, that was not an NCAA suspension. That was a Southeastern Conference-imposed suspension. Jim Calhoun, when he was suspended 3 Big East games, though, was an NCAA suspension. That was not from the Big East. But Bruce Pearl was actually initiated by the SEC. If something were to come up and said coach involved, say, Mike Anderson at Indiana, whatever he happens to coach, okay? The Big Ten could suspend him for 3 years if they wanted to. Well, that is as effective as firing him. Because the school's not going to hang around with a dude for 3 years. You could hire somebody else to be the coach.
Could you put in a 20? Can you make a 50-year suspension? I mean, you're going to have to. There's got to be a line to the suspension length, too.
Well, no. I mean, you could sit there. You could call for an indefinite suspension. You'll never be allowed to coach in the Big Ten again.
Right. That's what I was saying, in essence. I don't know if that idea either.
Well, it depends on what the.
That's true. But in that case, he's in essence firing the person then.
In essence, but you're suspending them and you're putting the onus on the university to then fire them.
Right.
And in all likelihood, the university would have fired him anyway. How about that?
Probably true.
Next hour, trade rumors. Kevin to the Dodgers for $200,000 cash, an Eskimo and a kangaroo.